You're listening to The Edie J. Adler Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom, amigos. Welcome to The Edie J. Adler Show. Thank you for watching. I am Edie J. Adler, and this show is dedicated to everybody. Every topic is allowed as long as we stay civil and as long as we do not insult each other. Because if you do that, then I'm going to block you. I want to welcome my guest today, Maria Gavin.
Hi.
She is a very dear friend of mine. I've known her for a long time, since we were little.
And I was about to say, bless you for saying that.
And even though I know her, I'm going to read her intro because I don't want to miss a thing. And I'm going to need my trusted glasses here.
Lentes.
When Maria is not busy trying to make things simpler and more elegant, she is an Emmy Award-winning producer and writer. You heard it right. She has an award, and that award is an Emmy, of honest, unscripted and lifestyle television. She also teaches film and TV production at the college level. A native of Los Angeles, Maria is passionate about food, travel, and adventure. She has a Master Chef certificate. She's a great cook. I know that by experience. And she's a certified scuba diver. Imagine that. She also has flown a plane and done a solo skydive. Once each.
Okay,
that's a lot, that's a lot more than I can say for myself. You know what? The only reason that I would jump out of a plane is if it was on fire or it had lost all its engines.
I had the thought of I should go sit down and land with the plane. But just to back into this, you start out with saying when I'm not trying to make things more simple or elegant. I believe, if I may say, that we're talking about decluttering.
That's correct.
Which makes things simple and elegant in your home when you declutter your home.
I was just about to brag about this. Maria has written a very good book. It's a very easy read, by the way. You don't get bored looking at it. You don't feel like you're doing homework. Declutter your home. Create simplicity and elegance in your life. And I got to tell you, Maria, you inspired me. My garage looked like a tornado had gone in. And it was boxes and junk all over the place. And now I can actually park there.
Well, my God, that's a lovely compliment. Thank you.
You're a very good writer, and your ideas are so good. People should really... Well, tell me, what inspired you to write this book?
Okay, yeah, I was going to say something else, but first, what inspired me? My sister and her fiancé moved in with me. My mother had passed away, and her house had gotten sold. So suddenly I have in my house everything of my mother's, my sister's, her fiance's, the two cats, mine. And it was more than I could kind of handle. It's a lot of stuff.
Kind of like my garage, huh?
Yeah. And so I think it was, if I don't take a bullet to my own head or somebody else's, I'm going to write this book. and I do love, by the way, I will add to this, I love having my sister and her fiance around, and I love the cats.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of stuff. And when it's in a confined space, you don't need that much stuff. Which brings me to something I do want to address, which is sometimes people say clutter and sometimes they say mess, but there is sort of a distinction. And the mess is something you just need to put away, and it has a place. And for that, my biggest piece of advice, I always say, don't put something down, put it away.
That's a very good piece of advice. Because you think you're going to need it right away, and you leave it just there.
Yeah.
I have a tendency to do that. I leave my nail files on the coffee table because I'm going to need them maybe tomorrow. And then it starts to accumulate and it gets messy.
And that becomes the mess. But you want it in your nail file. You're not going to throw it out.
Right.
So the clutterer is stuff that you can go into so much detail, and we can, but the clutter is just stuff that doesn't really have a purpose or a space, but it's stuff you're holding on to for whatever reason.
Help me out here, Maria. You know that I'm a very sentimental person.
Yes.
And I adore my parents.
Yes, indeed.
I still haven't been able to bring myself to give away their clothing. And it's been, my father passed away in 2007. My mom, we lost her in 2008. I've given away some of their clothing, but some of it, I put it in a box and it's still in the garage. I haven't been able to do that. And I'm not going to wear it. I'm not going to. I don't know. How do I handle that?
Here's the thing. I think you do a couple of things. One, when I always get that question, and my answer is, it's in a box. It's not being used. You're not even seeing it. You kind of know it's there. Even like certain old photos, if you're not going to get them out, they're not serving a purpose, and they're not bringing you joy or life. Knowing your place, as I sort of do, your home, one of the things you could do is select your top two favorite items and only keep the two favorite. And you can even do a wall display, like actually put them in a 3D kind of frame that has a front, you know, four sides or whatever, eight sides, whatever it is.
I did that with my dad's guitar. Because, you know, my dad was a gifted guitar player.
Yeah.
And he had this made. This was handcrafted mm-hmm. for him. And he loved his guitar so much that nobody was allowed to touch it.
Right.
Except me and my mom. So even though it's an old guitar, I put it in a display case, which I had made, and I put it on the wall. I also have a wall with pictures of my great-grandparents, whom I never met, my grandparents, my parents, when they were little, when they got married, when their 50th wedding anniversary. But I have other stuff. I have other pictures. I have other albums that are just collecting dust. And
They do. And, you know, certainly for certain photos or even anything, you can take a photo and make a digital photo album.
Right.
And you still, and that doesn't take up the space of the actual items. And as this is so not meant to sound cold, but there's also a certain freedom, A, in not having so much stuff, but B, creating a new story. And I know even today I was thinking about something. And we all sometimes hold on to our stories and our backstories and our history, and they can be wonderful things. And even then, there's a freedom in the newness and making space. The thing about clutter is it takes up space by which it doesn't allow anything new in.
Right. And it also, I find, because, as you know, I suffer from anxiety. And sometimes when I would go to the garage to look for something, I would get so anxious by looking at all that clutter and all that mess and all those papers that were like 20 years old and there's no reason to hold on to them. And now that it's a cleaner space and everything has its place, the stuff that I kept, I don't get so anxious when I need to go in there.
I love that. And that's a perfect example of things that don't serve you. You're holding on to something that isn't really serving you because it's making you anxious.
The other thing that I wanted to talk to you about is I don't have children. You know, I love children, but I wasn't able to have any. And so when I'm reading your book and thinking of what I need to give away or put away or just get rid of, I think this is going to sound morbid. It's not meant to be, but I think when I die, I'm the youngest of my siblings by far.
Right.
So when I die and having no children, no grandchildren, some stranger is going to come and take the stuff that I have sentimental attachment to and just throw it out or give it to Goodwill. And your book is not talking about that because there's nothing morbid about your book. But it makes me think I'd rather do that myself than have some stranger do that.
Yeah, that's a wonderful thing. Do it yourself. Even if you did have kids, you don't want to burden them with, I haven't gone through any of this stuff, and guess what? You get to.
That's a very good point.
Even if you had kids, there's a thing I talk about in the book called Swedish death cleaning, and that is the only morbid thing in the book, I promise.
I didn't think that was morbid.
It's not that morbid. It's that exact idea of do it yourself. Get rid of this stuff yourself so that nobody else has to.
Right.
And I
didn't think that was morbid. I thought that was practical.
It is, and there's a whole book about it called The Gentle Art of Swedish Death Cleaning. And there's so many reasons we hold on to things. But you reminded me a minute ago of something I do want to add.
Please.
Which is, when it becomes overwhelming and you think, oh my God, I've got all this clutter, you need to start thinking, how does this make me feel? You know, the Marie Kondo, does it spark joy? But even in another way, my suggestion is take everything out of a drawer, any given drawer. It doesn't have to be every drawer at once. You can do one drawer at a time, one box at a time. And you're not, the hardest thing is deciding, oh my God, what am I going to give away? What can I part with? Do it the 100% opposite way. It's, what am I inspired to keep? What fits? What just makes sense and serves me now? Not me 10 years ago.
Right. That's good advice. That's very good advice, and I'm going to do it because I have the perfect drawer to start with. And then I can put away some other stuff that I really do need. And if anybody wants to call and you have any questions for Maria, please call in at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. So I saw and I noticed also that you did keep a couple of things from your childhood that had really good sentimental value to you. And you arranged them a certain way that it doesn't look out of place. It looks like the perfect adornment for the area that you chose for them.
You know, we all have our stories, as I was saying earlier. And so the good, the bad, the ugly, the pretty of anyone's childhood. So there were very few things that I kept, very few. And really one that I actually think I have in the book I have the picture of me as a kid with it, but it's a little wooden donkey and it's on the bookshelf just because it is one of the things that really does still make me smile.
Yeah.
I loved my little wooden donkey.
Excuse me.
And that's one of the few things. And we have in the
pony.
The horse that we have in the living room, my mother found a life-size rocking horse. And it's old. It's 150 years old or whatever it is. And she stripped it and never painted it again. So it kind of looks kind of fun and half done and has a great patina. And it's in the living room, and it's so cute. And I can still get on it and write it.
I want to write it.
You should. Come over.
When I saw that picture, I said, I want to ride this.
You can ride that horse.
I know exactly where it is because I've been to your home.
So yeah, exactly.
It looks perfect. It looks nice.
So those are a couple of things that I have that we haven't gotten rid of. And it's funny because my parents weren't known for being painters, but they each did a painting that we have up in the house. So that's kind of fun because that can be on the wall.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And so that's fun, holding on to that stuff. Something else that some people might run into, and I know my sister and I are still sort of in the process of things of my mother's that actually were valuable. Artwork, rugs,
right.
Certain things. And then at what point do you sell them? How do you sell them? Can you get, how do estate sales work these days? Blah, blah, blah. But certainly that is not something that I'm just going to give away because those are actually worth something.
I have my mother's doll. It's actually the head.
We have two old dolls of my mom's.
When she was 5 years old, her father ordered this beautiful porcelain dog from Germany. And she kept it. And it was in perfect condition until I came along.
Oh, Miss Edie.
I'm so sorry. She should have never let me play with it. So now all that it's left is the head of the doll. Oh. I have it. And I keep thinking, I want to have this restored and display it. But right now the head is just in a box.
You could. There are places that will do that.
I call it Marie Antoinette.
My sister has my mother's porcelain doll from when my mom was five. And the other day it was out and it was sitting there. And she has a couple of outfits and she wasn't wearing anything. I don't know why that bothered me. I'm like, put some clothes on that doll. Like it mattered.
Oh, it matters to me.
That doll needs, she has clothes.
Yeah. I wanted to explain something to our listeners. Your book talks about creating elegance. Now, when most people think of elegance, they think expensive. My mother used to have a saying. She used to say, aunque la mona se vista de seda, mona se queda, which loosely translated would be you could dress the monkey in silk and she'll still be a monkey. But so you don't have to spend a lot of money to create elegance in your home, right?
No, because let's look at different – elegance can be, it's the latest, most expensive thing, Birkin handbag or Louis Vuitton luggage or Limoges china. No. To me, define elegance. What feels elegant to you? And to me, elegance is ease, flow, looking at something that's just neat and tidy. And that doesn't cost. So if you have all this clutter and or all this mess, that's not elegant because you're tripping over it. It looks horrible. Seriously, I've sometimes have had the situation where, if people have put things away, I'm trying to close the door to a cabinet. I can't even get the cabinet closed. So to me, being burdened down with stuff you're not necessarily using, doesn't serve you, isn't you anymore, is not elegant. The elegance is in the simplicity. Simplicity is elegant.
Right. And then if you have a lot of stuff, and you can't even display the good stuff, you can't even appreciate it.
Right. And the other thing is the more stuff you have, the I don't know if it's clothes. The more laundry you have to do, the more dishes you have to do, the more maintenance.
Would you believe that I still have outfits from where we worked together at KMEX?
Oh, my gosh. I would. I guess I would, except that, of course, I'm not allowed to talk about that because they were breaking the child labor laws. And so,
of course,
by hiring me.
Of course, but my mom did buy me these outfits at Needless Markups.
So yes, it feels
weird to just get rid of it or give it to Goodwill. And if you have a garage sale, what people are going to offer you a dollar for it.
But again, here's something else that's elegant. Is it elegant to hold on to something that's not you anymore? The thing you want to do is know, okay, at that time, that served me perfectly. That was who I was. And life evolves and life grows. We all grow. We're all doing different things. There's the discussion of what season of life are you in? Are you planting and it's spring or summer? Are you, you know, resting and it's winter?
I never thought about that. That's good. You're good.
Thank you. Well, I didn't come up with that idea, but you can go from winter to summer but if you're in a phase. So who are you now and who do you want to be? The clothes I wore back then probably aren't me now. They certainly aren't the trends now.
Right, right.
And who knows, everything old is new again, always.
Right. I want to quickly mention, we have another guest also joining us now, my dear friend. Maureen Kerrigan, and let me tell you about Maureen. I have information about her. What did I do with it?
Hi, Maureen.
Maureen.
Hello.
Maureen and her husband are co-owners of Abby Honest Abe Junk Removal. So even if you have a lot of stuff that you want to get rid of and you don't want to do it yourself, Abby and Maureen are, as their name says, very honest. And they're mom and pop, literally mom and pop business. They have a handsome, handsome teenager whom I've known since he was a baby, so I'm not allowed to say that. Other girls, no. So Maureen, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, about what you guys do, and if you have any questions for Maria, please join in the conversation. It's a pleasure to have you both here.
Okay, thank you. My name is Maureen, and my husband opened a business in junk. It was a demolition company initially, and we did residential demolition. He did it since 2006. I joined him about, 2011. And I used to teach and used to be a counselor. But we get out and we meet more people. And it was in our best interest that we work together. I always had an interest in building and being active. So we opened a demolition company. We did residential demolition, a lot of that initially. But in 2008, we kind of switched to junk removal because there was a larger need. People were cleaning out their closet or cleaning out their garage, or you might be selling a house and you want to consolidate your stuff. Sometimes, a parent might die and you are clearing out the estate, and you'd have an estate sale, and afterward, whatever is not sold, we would help you gather it. And, we would go to your house, you tell us what to take, and we would clear it out for you.
And I should tell you, Maria, Maureen helped me clear the garage.
Oh, I love that.
She's she's a dear, dear friend. She lives down the street from us. And one Sunday, she said, we're doing this. I'm tired of hearing you talk about this. We're doing it.
My experience with that is that whenever we work with people, they feel that purging is a lightening of the spirit. You know, you totally. Know what you have, you get organized, and it just makes you sleep better. So we have that experience with other people. They tell us that all the time.
Yeah, and if I may add something I didn't say earlier, Edie, but it's so true that even if you give away everything, like I can't stand to give away my parents' things, that's just the stuff. The memories and the love is not in the stuff. I mean, sure, there might be one little thing that you used to love,
right.
But that doesn't mean you're not going to remember them. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It's not.
Right.
My husband and I are very sensitive when we do this stuff because,
sure.
You know, especially when somebody loses a parent and you go to their home and they're going through pictures and so many things bring up memories, and it's not easy. Certainly not easy. So we're very sensitive about that. And, you know, they might point to something. I needed time to go through that, or we might move boxes for them so they know what is precious and they want to keep, and other things that they want to get rid of. So it's not easy, even though the material things, it does evoke some memories.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And speaking of memories, do you guys remember your senior prom?
I do.
And I'm going to tell you why. My friend Lisa Gibbons has an organization called Lisa's Care Connection, and they offer services to people suffering from Alzheimer's and their caregivers. That's actually how I met Lisa and we've become good friends. So they're having a fundraising gala. It's called the Senior Prom, and I invite you both, Maureen and Maria, to come dance the night away at Senior Prom in support of Lisa's Care Connection on September 19th at 7 p.m. Senior Prom is where we get to bring all generations together, whether you're a student senior or a senior citizen. Senior Prom is your night. Enjoy delicious hors d'oeuvres, drinks, music, and dancing. Tickets start at just $75, and if you can't make it, you can make a tax-deductible donation and send a senior to prom. For more information, you can call 818-847-3686 or visit lisascareconnection.org. Yeah, I want you guys to come. We're going. Neil and I are going. And speaking of websites and phone numbers, Maureen, do you have a phone number, a website that you want to share with us?
Honest Abe Junk Removal, honestabejunkcalling.com. And the phone number is 818-793-2531.
Say that again, please.
818-793-2531.
Thank you. Maria, this is a wonderful, wonderful book. And I'm honored that you gave this one to me and
Aww.
You signed it for me.
Oh, I'm honored to be here.
But other people who are not as lucky as I am to have you in their lives, they're going to want to know where to find the book.
Amazon, easy.
There you go.
Declutter your home. However, I would like to answer your question about do I remember my senior prom?
Please do.
Because I had to rent a date. I didn't have anybody. And as we were walking out of one of the events at about 1 in the morning, he said, you know, at 1:30, I go on double time.
Oh, my God. How on
but
earth?
He was teasing me, but I'm like,
how on earth did you find
yeah,
a place
this
to
is
rent
my life.
A date?
So literally, I my sister, Maureen, it was one of her friends from college.
Oh, wow.
That I rented the date, and we went to the Le Dome restaurant on the Sunset Strip, and they served us bottles and bottles and bottles of wine.
Oh,
which
no.
You, of course, didn't drink because you were underage.
Oh,
I know.
Oh, no.
I know. Of course not. Maureen, I've been to your home.
No, it's an opportunity to get dressed up and go out and treat yourself, you know, be fancy.
Exactly.
Sometimes we don't get enough of that.
Maureen, I've been to your home several times, sometimes uninvited because I just show up.
You're always welcome.
Thank you. and so are you. And your house looks beautiful. There's no clutter. Of course, that's your business, but I want you and Maria to give advice to other people who are not in the business of throwing junk away and who haven't written a book and who are like me, who just can't let go of things. Both of you, please, one at a time, mm-hmm. tell me, advise me and advise other people like me, what do we do to change that and make our homes as beautiful as yours are?
I'll start. Well, as I get older, I feel like it's wisdom that helps me declutter, because we're a consumerist society and we have so much more than we need. I used to, when I was younger, use the 10-year rule. If I haven't touched it, looked at it, played with it, whatever it is, then I'm it's not scary for me to get rid of. But now I use everything I have, but I need so much less than I have. But I've learned through other people, you know, doing this with other people, that getting rid of it just lightens your existence. It just, you know more of what you have, and you only buy what you need, and that reduces costs. So that's the wisdom of ages.
100%. Absolutely. It's, again, as you say, getting to know yourself and what do I need? How do I want my home to reflect me? How do I want things to operate? The elegance of the simplicity when you have less. It's so freeing. We don't need 17 coats. Pairs of jeans or whatever, if it's clothes.
I have about 20 coats. I only wear one at a time, though.
Right. Well, there you go. But also, two things that I will add. One, and without going into it in depth, because I know this isn't to read anything, but in one of the chapters in the book, I go into some of the reasons we hold on to things, whether it's, oh, I spent money on it, so I might as well keep it. Well, it's not doing anything if you're not using it. It doesn't matter if you spent money on it. Oh, my colleague at the office gave this to me. And I'm not trying to be cold, but what do you use? What, you know, represents who you are? And as I say, take out everything and only put back what you want to keep, not what you're not thinking of, what can I get rid of? Oh, I have to get rid of something. And it is absolutely so freeing, which brings up...
I can't tell you how many times we have had the experience of being called to clear out somebody's storage. And if you do the math, you're losing a lot of money. Like, no doubt you could buy every item inside the storage for the amount of years that people have kept it. I don't know. The fear of not having, you know?
Yes, there's a lack mentality, a fear mentality, because, I mean, yes, I even talk about the amount you waste on storage. But there is a fear mentality because somewhere, oddly, in the back of our heads, if we go down the rabbit hole of our worst fear and our worst fear and our worst fear and our worst fear, it all ends up we're going to be bag ladies on the street.
Right.
And so there's this lack, I've got to hold on. What if I can't get this again? Or what if blah, blah, blah. But, and I don't know if Maureen has had anyone say this, I'm sure you may, there's also, when you're surrounded by that much clutter, it's just oppressive, and that feeling of oppression takes its toll in weight, sleep issues, cortisol issues, all sorts of physical and psychological health dynamics, things.
Maureen, you are also a licensed counselor, therapist. So I'm sure you agree with Maria that, and I touched on this earlier before you joined us, that before you helped me clear out the garage, whenever I went to the garage, I would get a panic attack, anxiety. My anxiety would get up so high. And then when you made me, because you kind of made me do it, but we did it, and I thank you for that. Now when I need something from the garage, I can go in there and with no problem. I don't get anxious.
Yeah, I do also want to say there, you know, you're entitled to your own personality type. And we meet a lot of conservationists and they're like, well, I don't want to this to go to waste. I don't want to bury it in a landfill. And that's something that we have incorporated in our business plan, that when we take away stuff that it can be donated, we do. When it can be reused, we even, you know, for towels, blankets, some pillows, you know, even secondhand stores won't take those type of things, but the animal shelters will. So we know what goes where, and you know, whatever can be reused, we do that. And a lot of times that makes people feel so much better about clearing out their stuff, that right. It's not going away.
And speaking of animals, this week we're featuring another dog from the East Valley Animal Shelter, and his name is Shadow. If you were to adopt or rescue or foster Shadow, he would stroll down the avenue with you or wherever you'd enjoy a stroll. And he would listen to any troubles you might have and share in your happiness too. Shadow was surrendered to the East Valley Animal Shelter in Van Nuys, California on April 1st because his quote-unquote family was moving. Can you spell idiot? I hate people who leave their animals behind. I hope the family does the same thing to them when they get older. Anyway, Shadow is 6 years old, and he is such an endearing soul. Everyone notes that all the notes that have been posted on him describe him as mellow, chill, affectionate, friendly with everyone, even animals. He knows a couple of basic commands, and he'll sit and give you paw for treats. He enjoys daily rubs and getting petted. So please visit the animal shelter near you or go to the East Valley Animal Shelter on 14409 Van Owen Street in Van Nuys, California, and adopt Shadow or any other beautiful pet like him.
This is one of the facilities that we donate to most often. Yeah.
And I know that you have a couple of dogs and at least one of them is a rescue, right?
Yes.
And they give so much joy. And your cats are rescued, if I'm not wrong.
They were from a friend of a friend who took in a pregnant cat.
So they rescued the pregnant cat?
They rescued. So it wasn't through the shelter. It was just direct.
I have one of those, too. Maureen and her husband found a kitten by the road, and they were kind enough to stop their truck and pick him up. And then I was supposed to keep him for a couple of days, but I was like, hello, do you know me?
I know.
I don't think we've met. This cat is safe.
Oh, yes. They changed that cat's life. We love that cat.
I'm sure. Our cats have, as Neil says, I think it's my home, but no, really it's the cat, so I shouldn't worry about the decluttering.
So how do you deal with it? Like I have all kinds of animals, birds, dogs, cats, they contribute to the mess, not to the clutter, but to the mess. But you can still have a nice space, even if you have pets, right? How do you do with your cats?
Yeah, I will say, it's just putting in the extra effort. So every once in a while, you know, we have a basket of toys on the floor. Go through and pick up the toys and put it back in the basket. Put things up, the scratching posts back up against the wall. Make sure the trays are cleaned up, the food tray is cleaned up. And it's just staying on top of it, as it would be for
me. Yeah, it's definitely a commitment, you know, emotional and, you know, you need to do physical work too. But it's a commitment, and they give me so much joy, more joy than I, you know, the effort I put in. It's just not even a comparison. They're definitely well worth it.
I totally agree.
100%.
And we're running close to the end of the show. And I also, my dear friends, I want to share with you, as I've mentioned before, and I did it last time, I suffer from anxiety and panic attacks. So I want to share with you the tools that I use to deal with these conditions. remind you that it's not your fault. It's nothing that you can turn on and off. There's no switch to make you feel better immediately. So it's not your fault. Think about that. Secondly, be grateful for what you have. Even if you're having a bad day, you're having a day. So that's already a blessing. So show some gratitude. Show some caring for yourself. And speaking about clutter, if you're anxious, try to think about the things that you're going to put away and the things that you're going to put in a box to get rid of, to give away. When you start doing that, first of all, your anxiety is going to be replaced by some memories if you're putting away things that bring you memories, good ones. Secondly, then you're going to be occupying your mind on what it is that you're keeping, what it is that you're giving away. And thirdly, when you're done, you're going to feel like me when I go into my garage. No more anxiety with going into the garage. And now I owe that to both my friends today, to Maria for writing this wonderful book, Declutter Your Home, and for Maureen for literally making me declutter my garage and making it look like a garage and not a dump. So my ladies, please, thank you, and keep giving me that advice. Keep giving our listeners more advice.
Well, thank you.
We still have a few minutes, so please continue with your good suggestions, good advice.
You know, I will jump in here. I think you need to have an overall vision for your life and home, by which I mean not this huge vision of...
You don't mean the mansion I live in my
exactly.
dreams?
Exactly. Well, you've pointed out to me in the painting, in your dining room.
Right.
But what I really mean is the vision of, again, my vision was, I just want simplicity. That feels elegant to me. I want to be able to shut the cabinet door and have it stay shut rather than somebody added six extra pillows or whatever. And that doesn't have to be complicated. And none of this has to be overwhelming. And as Maureen said, sometimes people aren't 100% ready. They're ready for part of it. And that's okay. Do things on your own schedule. So also in the book, not to tout the book, but...
We're talking about the book.
Okay, the second part of the book was room by room by room. So you could just decide, I'm just going to do my bathroom. I don't care about anything else or the garage or whatever it is. And even if, and again, not expensive, even if what you do to your bathroom is you paint one little thing that they call a wainscot around it, and you get one basket and you start to roll instead of fold the towels, and suddenly it feels more like a spa. That's elegant. And you haven't spent a ton of money. And they say, maybe a tiny bit of paint and, like I say, a basket. And that feels elegant. Look, I made this whole thing so neat and tidy. And it feels more like a spa when I come in here.
Until your husband comes in and takes a shower.
You know, whatever.
I agree with that. You can summarize it, I think, with set manageable goals, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I see people getting so much satisfaction out of just one thing a day or one thing. Even you start out one thing a week. And
And if it's one drawer in the hallway or one cabinet in the hallway, or, you know, you don't have to tackle everything in one day. But how do you want it to reflect you? Who are you?
Right.
You know.
And I want to give an example of that. I have the cat food in the bathroom on the counter so the dogs can't get to it and the cats can jump on the counter. And I have a couple of other things in there, and a couple of towels to wipe the sink when I'm done washing my hands. But when I have people over for Shabbat dinner or people to come over, I put the cat food away, I put the towels away, and I light a candle that I keep in the bathroom, and I put the paper napkins for people to use when they wash their hands in a little container that's special for that.
Yeah.
And it looks so pretty.
Right. And just those little things. And again, nobody's saying spend a ton of money.
No. No, I don't spend a cent when I do that, when I have people yeah. come over. And it looks so pretty. Yeah. I wish I could keep it that way.
I know.
It does.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Maureen?
No, it does. I can attest to that because your house always looks just so when we're over there. So,
well, thank you.
You have nice details. You give it some thought.
Sure. And, you know, even if it's just, that's something else I will add. So items that you're, certain items, and I'm not talking clothes or I'm not talking anything kitchenware, but certain items that you're keeping, such as the little donkey that I kept from my childhood. You know, again, you decide what is worth keeping, what is me now, what do I care about, it, what serves me. And then you can have such fun doing what they call displays or vignettes. So I'm going to put, I have a mantle over the fireplace, and I'm going to put these things over here and arrange them just so. And then I've got a bookshelf over here, and I'm going to put this stuff over here and arrange things just so. One of the things that my sister does, which she taught me, is on the bookshelves, creating levels and textures. So not all the books have to be the same size, going, you know, small to large or large to small. You can put some on their sides, or you can put some in different direction. I'm not describing it well, but it adds to the visual layering and texture. Right. And again, it's just stuff to have fun with. How do you want it to look and display? And doesn't cost a thing. You could just have so much fun.
And you're very good at it too, Maureen, because I remember you have clean walls. I call them clean walls. I have pictures all over the place hanging from my walls. And when I go into your home, when I go into your home, you have a cuckoo clock. And I see the cuckoo clock. I don't see the 10 pictures that I don't know which picture to look at.
Yes, but there are times when I've struggled with, you know, the book issue, because I was a teacher for a lot of years. So you accumulate book. You know, I grew up with walls of books, you know, and I didn't think of that as clutter. But I came across a textbook from 20 years ago of genetics. And these have to go. It's antiquated, and everything that I really wanted in a book, well, except like, you know, novels and things. People like having books around sometimes. But the amount of books had to go. They were outdated, and you can get them online. And I know a place that takes books. So, you know, people who want books around their house just to pass on, they get to reuse them. There are some libraries around our neighborhood where you can exchange books, so you don't have to, like, keep them in your home. So I cut down the amount of books that I had by a lot, and that was hard for me. That was really hard, because that's something that's really important to me.
Right.
But, so, yeah.
Absolutely.
I like the decoration advice we just went over.
Thanks. The other thing is there's so much that's online now. I don't even keep the manuals to appliances or something that I buy, because I can look it up online. There's something else I say in the book that Maureen touched on. You know, ways to, quote unquote, get rid of clutter. It might serve somebody else really beautifully if it's a book or some dishware or whatever. You can organize a swap. You can donate it. You can give it to friends who you know are moving or whatever, need some new stuff. And the way I put it is the whole point is not to have the clutter or the mess, which breaks down into find every item a place in your home or a home in someone else's place.
Oh, I like it.
Nicely done.
So, you know, you don't, yeah, and I'm very conscious of, you know, the landfills and everything, and particularly with clothing. I mean, yeah.
I did my donating today.
Yeah.
I do that. I do
even the boxes that are for, you know, the Red Cross, or there's lots of different, like, donation boxes
sure.
out there.
Yeah, I do that. From time to time, I do donate some clothes, believe it or not. Well, we're coming to the end of the show. Maureen, do you want to quickly give your phone number again, please?
Sure. It's Honest Abe Junk Calling at 818-793-2531. And you can always look it up on Yelp. Check out our reviews, because that's our finest selling point.
Thank
we
you
have
very much.
Our reviews, yeah.
And Maria, you told me people can find your book on Amazon.
Declutter Your Home, Create Simplicity and Elegance in Your Life, Amazon.com.
And we're doing that.
Maria Gavin.
I want to thank my guests, Maria Gavin, Maureen Kerrigan. I love them both. And I want to thank
you so much.
All of you for tuning in. Please tell a friend if you like this show. Share it. Thank you for watching or for listening today. And always, remember to always, always be grateful. I am EDJ Adler.
Thank you.
You're listening to The EDJ Adler Show, only on LA Talk Radio.